This is dublive.com. You're in the spot, and we're in the spot, the record plant, Hollywood, California, chilling here with Will.i.am. How you doing?
What's up?
Just heard a selection of tunes, instrumental beats, and some vocal snippets floating into the mix, dubbed out by Will.i.am. We're in a studio right here. We got our neighbors Dolly Parton and Earth, Wind, and Fire chilling, and amongst all of this is Will.i.am doing his thing here. What are you up to in the studio right now?
Just finishing the rest of the Black Eyed Peas album and stuff. Just finishing the record. Sorry about that.
Cool. That's right. So this is the third Black Eyed Peas album.
Yeah, it's called Ella Funk.
Ella Funk?
Nice. Like Funk, P-H-U-N-K, Ella, like Ella, Elephant, or Ella Fitzgerald, or Elephant, or Elephone, or anything Ella, because it's Ella. Elevated.
Elevated. That's good. There's many, many meanings, many sounds. You guys are working a lot of new sounds into the mix, too. I know the other day you were telling me that your a few rock albums kind of seeped into your mind and dug some of the rock stuff happening. So are we going to see hear some more rock sounds, some more guitars and stuff on this record?
You're definitely going to hear a lot of guitars. Not rock like the way like Limp Bizkit put it down. None like that. Though we do have a song with Papa Roach. But it's the only reason why it's rock is because that's the genre they come from.
Sure.
And there is heavy guitar in it, but it isn't the same as the hip-hop rock that we know now.
Yeah. So you're part of the group. Your main role is as producer, but you're also vocalist in the group.
Lead vocalist, producer.
Yeah. And how is this different than a lot of the folks have also heard your BBE album, the Spare Change album?
Lost Change.
Lost Change, exactly. That one too. I just want to make sure you're on your toes. They came out recently on BBE. Is there a difference for you identity-wise between the BBE sound that you're doing, the instrumental solo music, and the Black Eyed Peas?
Not really. Only difference is one's like one for something and the other one's for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're both for me. I mean, Black Eyed Peas is not.
It's all part of the Will.i.am.
Yeah,
sadly.
It's just we have a history. We have a fan base. We've made it it's because there's a fan base. That means we have to take it seriously as far as business goes. So a lot of the things that we do, we have that in mind.
Yeah.
And Lost Change is just shit. Sorry if I cuss, but
it's fine.
It's just, we just go in the studio and do what I do and put it out. No red tape, no budget, little stipulations that you have to worry about.
Is there a limit? I mean, when you're thinking of a commercial release, more of a commercial release for the Black Eyed Peas material, do you ever feel like there's a limit to how crazy you can get with the sound, or do you just try to push it and say, it really doesn't matter to me, I'm just going to go all out and do something that I want to do?
We push it. We push it in all the aspects of pushing. Like, with Lost Chain, it's like, I'm just going to get creative as hell with this and put it out. But it's only going to grow so much. You know what I mean? Those type of records will never be palm trees. They're probably going to be like some fruit plants. You get your little fruit from it, nurturing. And Black Eyed Peas could be palm trees. And hopefully, the coconuts grow on palm trees?
Coconut trees. almost the same thing. I think they look the exact same. I can't tell the difference.
Because, they're just, there's greater things can happen.
Yeah, sure.
From all aspects. Lost Chains, great things can happen as far as touching somebody and inspiring them creatively. Black Eyed Peas can touch somebody, inspire them creatively, and also inspire them to achieve great things as far as your career goes.
Yeah. Why do you think that that's the case?
Because with the Lost Change, you have like hold on, this music is really distracting me. Because I'm like listening to the music at the same time.
It's tough as a producer. You're always hearing it.
Okay, here. No.
There we go.
Damn. I was like trapped in the music.
Thinking of remix ideas.
I was like, wow, I made a mistake there. Lost Chains is like, you know, it's Peter. Mm. You know, over at BBE. Mm. It's like one guy.
Yeah.
And he has K7 distribution. And it's BBE for a reason. It's barely breaking even.
Sure.
Like, you know, they only spend enough that they're going to make back. Their risk, they don't take big risks as far as, you know, what they're willing to lose when you go out and market something. Because anything, you're going to lose. You can lose anything. I mean, you're able to lose something when there's money on the line. Mm-hmm. Interscope, they back with heavy pockets. So they're capable of taking large risks, and those large risks can win big. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have like a machine opposed to like a dude and a couple of people, that says a lot in the end result.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you also have, you know, that machine saying, hey, why don't you like try this out, you know? Mm-hmm. Either you listen to it or you say, nah, that's cool, and hold your ground. Or you say, all right, I'll try that. It all depends on you, on what you're willing, you know, the things you're willing to, like, how far you're willing to bend as far as your, like, integrity. Not artistic integrity, but just your.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sensibility on the industry.
How is that? Because, you know, there's definitely certain artists that break through and make a mark and keep their integrity through the process, which is probably the toughest thing to hold on to. You know, if you think about, you know, going through these processes, especially yourself having been through dealing with major labels and dealing with the music business, you know, as a whole, people are coming at you from all angles. Is it difficult to go through this all and keep that true, you know, essence of what you want to do creatively?
Repeat it again.
Just keeping, is it difficult to keep that creative essence going, you know, dealing with major labels or dealing with the music industry in general?
Well, there's two ways of looking at it. Like, there's a creative as far as like what you create in a studio, and there's a creative as what you create as far as your career and the turns that you take and the downfalls and the mistakes you make and how you get out of those mistakes. There's a creative way to get out of those things or plan things. Not everything is like, it's not the end result right when you do it. Like, you know, if I make a song right now and it's not the most creative song to the last thing I did, you know, doesn't mean that my career ends here. Mm. You know, it's the whole career looked at as far as you look at somebody's career as like one song after it's over with. And you say, wow, that person held his integrity. He really stood his ground. There's no telling. I'm still alive, still kicking. You never know what I'm gonna make tomorrow. Like, you know what I mean? Just like a song.
But what keeps you going? You know, what's that creative juice that keeps you going? What's the funnest part about doing all of this?
Just looking at my life as a song. You know, there's not every point of a song is exciting. You know, not everything is full of, like, excitement. You know, every once in a while the beat gets monotonous or the drummer gets kind of lazy. But then he picks himself up if you're dealing with live musicians or if you're dealing with technology. You know, the beat gets monotonous. But you got to look at your life like that, like a song. And how is it going to end? How are you going to make a climax? You know, I'm nowhere near my climax part. I mean, I ain't done. You know, I'm probably in my first verse. Mm-hmm. As far as the song goes, you look at it like that.
You having fun doing it?
Hell yeah. You know, I was at the supermarket and I seen a dude pushing like this big crates. I was like, wow. You know what I mean? Like, I could be pushing crates. And you gotta be grateful, even though you get fucked in the industry. You know what? I'd rather be fucked than not fucked with. You know, I'd rather be taken advantage of than not have the advantage. Mm-hmm. You know? Because you getting fucked 5 years from now, 3 years from now, there's going to be some little girl in Wisconsin whose parents died. And she puts in your CD and she feels good, and, you know, and uplifts her. So I'm willing to take that burden of getting fucked out of a business deal to hopefully make some little girl or some little dude in Wisconsin cool for the minute. You know, whatever that person's going through in life, maybe they're going through good times and that CD was a soundtrack to that summer. You know, it ain't all about you and the things that you do to get to have the opportunities to do what you do. So what? You get fucked, you learn. So next time that getting fucked, you know, you got some stripes so you won't get fucked again. You know, I've gotten fucked a bunch of times. I got kids. I'm getting fucked. As far as, like, you know, if you really think about, you know, I was pregnant because I got fucked. Got some children out of my getting fuckedness. You know, that's just all experience. You know, and the thing that makes me just chuckle is these underground cats. Like, they don't get it, man. That, you know, they want to be in it and they hate on cats that are in it making like moves, and they're in it too. It's like, what are you talking about? You're in it. There's no such thing as underground. Once you're in it, you're no longer underground. As soon as on the radio, you're just on a radio station that isn't broadcast far enough.
Yeah,
you're still on the radio. I don't get that mentality. It's so silly.
How, what was that that jump like for you? Because, I mean, every group comes up through, you know, they have a path to get to where they are and, you know, they continue on a path. But was there a clear line for when you guys felt like, you know, you've kind of legitimized what you're doing?
Well, LA is different. Like, it was in high school in the 11th grade when I got signed to Ruthless, and I would go to like the underground clubs and those underground cats, just because you had a deal at that time, like in 92. Oh, the nigga got a deal, you know what I'm saying? Fool ain't real. You know, I can rhyme better than him. You know, and then you battle and you beat him, and then they still hating. Like, then why? I just took you out. I don't understand why you hating. So that's what happened. And that, from that point on, I didn't turn my back on underground. Now, when I say underground, I'm not talking about people with talent. I'm talking about people that don't have talent. And the people that don't have talent know it. The people that hold on to that title for dear life.
Sure.
Like the gate watchers at the underground gate. When there's really no, it's like the difference between Los Angeles and Nevada. There's really no line. You pass through and there's a little sign.
Exactly.
You know?
Well, if most people were given the chance, they would make that transition. I mean, the line is very blurry. There's not much of a line. But I think that the integrity thing is the biggest issue. It doesn't really matter. Underground, overground, wherever you're at, the integrity thing's huge. And you want as many people to hear your music as possible.
Yeah.
You want to, you know, have that girl who's going through a tough time hear your music. You want to have that guy who you saw pushing the crates, doing some manual labor, you know, listening to your music, you know, in his headphones. So I think the true artist creates what they want to create, but they also want to, you know, they want to touch people with it. They don't want to have it sitting in a room, you know, like you said, it, you had some tunes sitting on your computer. You'd rather have them in people's headphones and in people's speakers than just sitting on your computer.
Is it going to be on the internet MP3? Mm-hmm. Not like dreading it.
Yeah.
But like, is it?
Yeah.
I like it to be. You know what I mean? Especially these joints. It ain't like, it ain't like, I probably put them out on another BBE.
Sure.
Or another, like, independent release in time to come. But why not have them floating? You know? Otis Redding got fucked. You know? He didn't get what he deserved. Mm. Every legend you could think of. Jimi Hendrix. I bet he had a shitty-ass record deal. Really think about it. Now. Muddy Waters had a shitty deal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Who had a shitty? Miles Davis?
Charles Mingus. You know,
Charles Mingus. They all had shitty deals. But the end result is that their music is still here today. Mm-hmm. You know? And that's what it should be. That's integrity.
That's integrity. But you also want to feed your family. You want to feed yourself. You want to live, you know, live in
that's smart.
Life.
That's business. Yeah. But there's no such thing as integrity when you're dealing with business. Mm. You know? As soon as you put integrity in business, you're a bad businessman.
Yeah.
You know, because the whole purpose is to get over. If you hurt your homie, I would never do that. Hurt my homie. That's why I don't like doing business with homies. But you know what I mean? But they all got shitty ass deals. You know, maybe if they're around in this time, they would have great deals. You know, Charles Mingus wouldn't have been a druggie. Mm-hmm. You know, because he wasn't. He, you know, to really think about it, why people do the things they do. Because they know they were ain't getting what they deserved. Prostitutions. A lot of prostitutions end up killing. Prostitutes end up committing suicide and killing themselves because they're selling themselves short. Mm. Same way, you know, maybe that's why Charles Mingus was a big drug fiend. Because he, you know, he knew he was worth more than that. And meanwhile, the suit and the briefcase guy was rich off of his knowledge and his genius. You know? That takes integrity. I'm not talking about creative integrity, just to cope with that. You know, you got a lot of selfish fans. Not selfish artists, but selfish fans. So much that it influenced the artists. Selfish fans that say, "Ah, I like they first shit when they, you know, that first record." You know, but that's a selfish attitude. It's like you should be proud that now a million people like them. You know, that's selfishness, man.
Yeah.
And it's so selfish that it influences the artist to feel that if his or her stuff blows up, that they regret it. You know? De La Soul, for crying out, I love that. I'm their biggest fan, right? When they did Me, Myself, and I. Is it because we hate this song, you know, on the show? You know, they feel like they hate it because that's all the people know them by. You know? And the reason why that is because you have these pop kids who are no different than the underground kids, just in two extremes. You got pop kids that only know shit because it's big, and you got underground kids that only know shit because they only know it.
Hmm.
But it's no different.
Well, right now what's happening, you've got a lot of the fringe kind of sound that is using a lot of the, you know, like Timbaland sounds or Neptunes, and there's people selling millions of records, and then there's kids doing it in their bedroom, you know, selling, you know, 300 copies of the records. And there's not too much of a difference, you know, between the music, but it seems like, you know, it's once you've established yourself in this industry and done it and have paths to put your music out and have these connections to make it, you know, you can make a lot of money and do something interesting. You know, these kids respect and love the music that's heard, you know, on... Hip hop to me is the only, you know, pop music recently that's made any sort of leaps and bounds. And it's because a few people have been doing, you know, some different sounds. You're doing very different sounds. JD, Spinna, you know, and on the very commercial level, Neptunes and Timbaland and stuff. Do you have any views on those kind of sounds on the radio? When you hear a Neptune song, what do you think?
I think that is 2003. You know, and the next thing you know, it's going to be 2004, and it ain't going to be Neptunes.
Yeah.
It's going to be that little kid that you said, you know, because it's a five-year waiting period. Mm-hmm. And you wait 5 years, you hustle, you go out and meet people, and those connections that you make, you got a suit and a briefcase, dude, find interest in you, and the next thing you know, you're the Neptunes, dude, and it's 2005, and it's Frosty.
Yeah.
And you're talking about, yeah, I remember I used to have my radio show, Dub Lab, but now Dub Lab's on MTV, and you have a Dub Lab show.
Yeah.
And it was 2005 to 2007, your time's up. It's 5 year waiting period, 3 years like high period. Mm-hmm. Neptune is on there, what, how many years now? At top, like, you know, like 3 years?
Maybe a little less. Maybe really, really getting played a couple of years.
Next year, I don't think it's going to be them.
Yeah.
I'm not hating. That's just the way the industry
is. Have you met them before?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nicest people in the world. Weirdos, just like myself.
Yeah. So that's good. I think. Cats. I mean, you guys will always find something different and something new to work on. It seems that a lot of the music that's actually heard, like you said, there's a five-year waiting period to actually break through and you know, do your thing if you make the right moves, you know, and put some records out and a chance at notoriety. But there's also a waiting period production-wise. You guys said you've been working on this album for a couple of years, and that's tends to happen, you know, someone's in their bedroom working on something, but from the time you start working on it till the time when it actually
comes out,
there's a big difference. So it seems like, you know, it's kind of like this is the future, what's inside your computer and what you're working on here. What do you have in the works? Are you excited about some things? Do you think you've got some stuff that's just going to smash people's wigs off? Or
I've been hearing it for like 2 years, desensitized to it. But I think there's some songs on it, like this song, "Where's the Love." It's a pretty in depth song as far as thong. It's a pretty in depth song. No, it's a pretty it's a pretty in depth song as far as like subject matter. You know, it's not intense, but it's what needs to be said. People need to hear that type of stuff. A lot of the interludes, you know, the song, like, you know, the rhymes that we kick during the interludes are pretty much like spiritual upliftment songs. But all the rest of the bulk of the album are just a lot of party tunes. Because a party tune, not a party tune like let's go to the club, not like that, but they're just party songs. And a party song is no different than saying something like, what are you doing? What's wrong with the world? Bush, oh my gosh, and this and that and that, that and that, and the world is all messed up. There's no, what it can do, how it can change you is the same way. You know, here's a song that's talking about the world's problems and it uplifts you like, yes, I want to change, right? And a party song is just going to make you change and feel good right now. And hopefully that'll translate into how you feel tomorrow. And how you feel the next day. You know? So there's a lot of party songs on the album. Positive feeling songs, like, you know, feel good joints. Then we got relationship songs, like, that's one of the reasons why our album taking so long. Because we personally were going through personal turmoil. You know, a lot of anxiety we've experienced. And some shit's happened in our lives that kind of fucked us up. So we got relationship songs, you know, a song called Shut Up. It's a relationship. That's an argument caught on tape. We look at it like that. Real dramatic. You know, we've lost a lot of like people that we've loved, from family members to girlfriends, stuff like that. They'd never be the same again.
But reflected in the sounds, reflected in the songs.
No, that's what held our album up. It's going through those things. You know, we make some songs, and they don't represent what we're going through, so we got to make some more songs. And then we make some songs, we feeling them, yeah, yeah. And then we show them to the record company, like, yeah, those are dope. We start planning a release date, and that time planning, we write another song. And then the song that we write is better than the other shit that we did. So we scrap all that other shit. And then we write new songs that were like the other ones as far as the intensity. And then now we got 10 more better songs. Then we turn them into record company, and they're like, yeah, yeah, let's put this out. We go in the studio and write 3 more better songs, and that's it. That's me. I get sick of shit quick. If I have a song for like a month, I'll try to remix it. And then, you know, but this time, once I'm done with it by Monday, that's it. I ain't trying to remix nothing. It's going to wait till when it comes out in April.
So Elefunk is coming out April?
Yeah, we have to have it mastered by February the 15th. Single will be out mid-March. Album should be out in April.
Cool. So people can look out for Elefunk, and then any other things you're working on solo-wise or with any other people, other production?
I'm doing another Lost Change starting in February the 20th. I don't know what MCs are going to be on it, but it's similar to Lost Change. Real clubby though. Unlike Lost Change was, I scored a film. So that's why a lot of the songs were like, I had like a guitar solo for like 2 minutes. That's because it goes to, you know, scenes. But this is going to be a little bit more, I'm going to score a club. You know, I'm going to go to a club, 3 clubs in a week, take a video camera, and score what I see. And that's the theme of this. But Lost Change was, the people that paid for that record were Levi's. So they gave me some money to do a record. The first time it's ever been done before. Lost Change was like the first in history. When a person, an artist goes to something outside of a record company and gets funded. So they paid for it to get done, and we put it out through BBE. They didn't incur any costs, so that's why they were willing to put it out the week after I gave it to them. This is going to be the same, but instead of clothes, I'm going through a alcohol beverage, Coors. Mm. But it's going to be even you know, bigger as far as what we're going to be able to accomplish. You know?
So hopefully growing this from a fruit plant into a palm tree as well. So you'll have a couple palm trees out there.
No, you got to think about it. I mean, the music industry is different, man. It ain't like it was in 80, in the 80s or the 90s. Early 90s, when a girl or a guy would get his favorite artist and sit in the room and zone out and listen to the record and hopefully watch the video on MTV and fall in love with their favorite artist. You know? You got kids that got video games, intense video games. You got internet. They can IM people, take little pictures on cell phones. I mean, technology is, everything is growing, but the only thing that's staying stagnant as far as like the how they're marketing and putting out music is the music industry. They're still dinosaurs putting out CD. Wow, you got a CD and an enhanced CD that I'm only going to watch fucking once. And here's some little DVD of me having this little interview. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know anybody that be watching like interviews like 100 times.
Yeah.
You know, they're dinosaurs. It's primitive, the music industry. So it ain't going to take, the music industry ain't going to want to change it because they're happy with getting their 12% while the artist settles for like 5%, you know, 9 points on a record while the industry's raping them. You know, they don't want to change it. So it's going to take the artist to be like, fuck, how can I put out this record? So even if I don't sell records, I still made my money.
Mm. Have you had any thoughts about your own label?
Fuck a label.
Yeah.
Why the fuck I want to do a label for? So I can rape other artists I sign?
Well, for your own material to put out.
You know? Nah.
Yeah.
I'm happy just doing it like this. Going to a little... a beverage company or a shoe company, a hat, jacket, I don't give a fuck. Give me some money, you sell your product, and I put out records. Ain't no difference. But then you got the whole, like, hip-hop world, like, hating. Right? Like, oh, that fool did a Dr. Pepper commercial. And?
Exactly.
I don't get it. I mean, and I also put out Lost Chains.
Yeah.
So it don't... what I do businessly should not have anything to do with what I do creatively. I'm just trying to find other outlets. Hmm. You know, Common just did a Coke commercial. The Roots did a Coke commercial. De La Soul did an Apple commercial.
Stereo Lab was on a VW commercial. You know, you look at... Yeah,
people, it isn't.
You know,
it,
people want to. They're not getting what they should from the labels. Like you said, you're getting, you know, a few points on a record. If the label's not giving you what you know need and should have, then why not? You know, put it in a film, put it in a commercial.
Yeah, it's like, you know,
as long as the music is.
Yeah, it isn't the 70s anymore.
It doesn't matter.
It isn't the 70s anymore. Yeah. When you know, it ain't that. It ain't the 60s and the 70s when there was a reason to rebel against corporate America. Mm-hmm. Like, it's too late to rebel against them fools. They own everything. You know, they own the same people that own Interscope own everything else.
Sure.
And the only way to change it is to just accept it and hopefully change it through
making the product better, maybe.
Not making the product better. Mm-hmm. Like, here's a little story. That must be told. No, here's a little thingy. Lady wakes up in the morning and goes to work. Barely makes enough money to pay her bills, so she can't really buy food. Every day she goes out in the balcony and she prays to God. God, please give me some food. God, please help me pay my phone bill. The lady downstairs says, stupid lady, God isn't going to do that. So God didn't, you know. So she didn't pay her phone bill, so she got a phone cut off. She didn't pay her heat bill. God, please help me pay my heat bill. So the lady downstairs says, stupid lady, her heat's going to be turned off. Right? Next day, Lord, I just made enough money to pay my rent. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me with my rent money, but I'm so hungry. Please give me some food. Right? The lady downstairs says, I'm going to fuck with this lady. So she puts groceries all over her balcony, right? The lady says, comes to the balcony, sees groceries all over the balcony. She says, thank you, Jesus. You blessed me with food, right? And the lady downstairs says, you fool, that wasn't God. I put him up there, right? So the lady says, thank you, Lord Jesus. Not only did you bless me with food, but you made the devil do it for me. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter how it's done, man. Mm-hmm. As long as you set forth in your mind to do something, whether or not you're using the devil's money to do it, corporation's money to do it, as long as you're changing someone else in the process and let the devil do God's job, metaphorically speaking. I'm not saying corporations are the devil. Yeah. I'm just saying.
One form of the devil.
Yeah.
One very tangible form of the devil.
You know, it's a way of looking at it.
Yeah.
You know, pretty Prudential Rock is owned by like a cigarette company.
Yeah.
You know, they sell insurance and cigarettes.
It's all tied together.
You know? Well, what are you going to do? You know, rebel to a point where you're defeating the purpose anyways. People just got to be smarter.
Yeah. Well, you guys are, you're definitely pushing it forward. Keeping it going.
You like so. That song, Push It Forward, by The Streets?
It's fun. You know, it's The Streets, it's very strange. Like, the first time I heard it, I didn't know what I thought about it. And then I kind of heard it more and more. And I still am kind of, like, not sure. But I give it the biggest credit for making me question it, for not knowing if it's good or bad, for going back for a second and third and fourth listen.
Yeah.
So, to me, you know, it's if someone's doing something different like that, you know, that's half of the credit, you know, right there for just trying to do something different. And, you know, it's sometimes they succeed, you know, for a group, and, you know, it might not hit me every way, but it's just good, you know. So it's good to hear, you know, the stuff you're doing, and like there's a handful of other people who are just trying to do something different than the norm.
You like Puffy?
To keep people interested. Not really, you know, but I don't discount what he's done, you know. I think that he's a smart businessman for one,
Yeah.
He made people dance, you know. It's like I like the, you know, Notorious B.I.G. stuff. And I like, you know, he's definitely done some things.
He did something different from the other aspect.
Sure.
He's the complete opposite to the streets.
There's people I can't stand who do something, you know, totally different.
No, he did something totally different businessly. Mm-hmm. You know? He's, you know, he inspired Jay-Z and all these people to control and own the records.
Yeah.
Think just about huge. If Otis Redding and Miles Davis had that, what Puffy had.
Yeah.
You know, he really, you know, he did something different.
Yeah, it's happened. People set precedents. So
that's like big shit. That's bigger than any abstract album that comes out of here. Anything that uses musical theory that comes out that they play on 88.9. What Puffy did for hip hop music. You know, I'm not saying he's God. I'm just saying, like, people don't acknowledge what he did or what Jay-Z does.
Yeah.
Or even Jermaine Dupri, but those kind of cats. Just for me, you know, as a person that wants to be an entrepreneur and sees the bigger picture and things. Yeah, creatively, maybe those guys are horrible. But that's just half of the battle. You know? You could be all armored up to go to war. But you don't got no muscle. You got all the cool little artistic freaky little suit, but you're too weak to even carry that suit. You know? Somebody's going to come and just slice you. So with all the creativity that we have nowadays, you have to have a business mind to back it up, because you're going to get taken advantage of. You know? And to all them creative cats out there, you know, they should keep that in mind, dude. You got to be smart on it. As much music theory you got to have business theory. You know? Like, I'm in a studio, and I ain't even paying for it. You know that? I'm, like, big time blessed.
Yeah.
Like, there's some kid, like, in Detroit, like, wishing, like, better than my ass. You know what I'm saying? Like, some kid out there, dog, that's, like, hungry. Waiting. Like, you know, it's like a good, I'm like happy right now. If I died going home tonight, I'll be like, damn, that shit was dope.
I get it. How many channels did I have in the studio today?
For real, man, that's big. Even if we don't sell Squad Diddly. Diddly. Whatever. Diddly.
That's Puff's new name, actually. He changed it.
P. Diddly.
Squad Diddly.
No, but you know, shit's dope.
Yeah. Anything else you want people to know about your music? Any message to the world, the worldwide listeners, the worldwide fans out there?
I really like Stereolab. That's the only thing I can think of, yep. Stereolab. And Brazilian music. Like, I'm a muso head. You know, I love music. I'm a muso before anything, you know. I'm blessed with the harsh reality of corporate America. And I'm in it. You know, I'm in it. You know, this is what I do for a living. And I make music for fun. And that's lost change. Mm-hmm. You know?
But you seem to be having fun with the rest of it, too. So, it's a good spot to be in.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. Nice. But it's harsh, man. But, you know? It's a harsh little world.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Well, I appreciate you taking the time out to play some tunes and expose it to the folks around the world and chat with me for a minute too. And
yeah, thanks.
I definitely think people, you know, will keep an eye out for the music for the new Black Eyed Peas album and for the second series of Lost Change.
Yeah.
Check for Apple on the streets.
Yeah. Sorry about the whole delay. We were supposed to do this a while ago. Yeah.
No, we had a good time. So thanks so much, Will. I appreciate it. Peace, man.
Hello. Oh. Yo, what's up? This is Will I Am, chilling with DJ Frosty on Dub Lab. Yeah.